exactly the wrong direction to Damascus and stopped him and turned him around, I think that is exactly why Paul becomes a great apostle, because he wasn't ever trying to go against God. That wasn't his intention. And when he began to understand, you know, when God revealed to him there, then he went 180 degrees and went just as hard the other way as he was going that way, because his desire always was to serve the living God. Now you say, why does that matter? Well, I think it matters because it brings me some hope to think that, you know, sometimes we find people and we think, oh, they're so contrary to God. But you know, there's hope. There's hope because God can turn them. God can turn them around. A man like Paul, he was turned around and he serves this God, the living God, whom we also serve. And maybe that's a reminder to us also that we can serve the living God and do it with all of our ability that he gives us, with every fiber of our being. Because that's exactly what Paul did. I think that for many people, if suffering came as it did for Paul, a quick reaction would be to just say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. But that wasn't the way Paul did it. No matter what came his way, he served the living God. We serve a living God, and he has given us a great hope. And so when the world overwhelms us, which it does sometimes, when the enemy overwhelms us, which he sometimes does also, it's good for us to be reminded that we serve the living God and that we can continue to serve him in spite of those circumstances, because he's above all those circumstances and he's in control of all those circumstances. I think, you know, sometimes these things look tragic and they look difficult and they look terrible from our standpoint, but I'm always reminded that God is the one that is in control of these things. I watched a man, a pastor on a video online. He pastors a very large church back east, and typically I'm not much to watch these kind of things, but the title grabbed my attention, so I watched it, and the title was Not Reason but Revelation. And that was interesting, his thought, which was very, very good actually. Sometimes we're looking for reason in things when God wants to give us a revelation of who he is. And there's many, many thoughts about that in the scripture. I'm not going to go into that. But that reminded me that, you know, when the enemy overwhelms us, what we need is a revelation of our God, a revelation of who he is, and a reminder. And so the Word of God, we come back to that, and we go into the Word. And I was thinking about this week, because you might say, well, I don't really know where to start, where to get what I need. And I was thinking about it this week that, you know, we go to the Lord in prayer, and we take him our needs, our problems, our circumstances. And then what happens? Where's the answer to that? What do we get? And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, when we go to prayer and take something to the Lord, you know the next thing we need to do? We need to get in the Word. Because invariably, God will speak to us from his Word, and you say, well, so where do I go in the Word? And I'm going to tell you this, I don't know where you go, and I actually don't think I care where you go in the Word. Get into the Word somewhere. This is what I thought about this week. This is what the Lord brought to me this week, was no matter where I go, because sometimes I just open and read something, no matter where I go in the Word, God speaks to me whatever I need for that time. And you say, well, how can that be? I must need this specific passage, or I must need that specific passage. I don't know how that can be. I can tell you this. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, not mine. He knows how to do that. And so we go to the Lord with our prayer. It's very important, very necessary. We should be doing that. And he wants to speak to us, and he does that from his Word, so we need to get into God's Word as well. God will remind us. He will bring things to remembrance. When Paul says in his third verse, he says, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. And I think about this. Paul was a man who had a lot of, there was probably a lot on his mind. I mean, he was so probably overwhelmed with different things. But we see him saying this, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. Remembrance. In Romans, the first chapter, again, I'm not going to turn because I'm going to run out of time if I do, but Romans 1:9, he says, God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He says that to the Romans. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Over and over and over again, we find Paul remembering the saints in his prayers. In Acts, the 20th chapter, as he speaks to the elders of Ephesus there, he makes the same statement to them, that he prayed for them night and day with tears. Paul remembered to pray for the saints. They were important to him, and he knew that they needed his prayers. He asked for prayers as well, that they would pray for him, that he might be able to boldly proclaim the gospel. It's important for us to remember one another in prayers. I think it's encouraging, and it lifts us up. In verse 4 of our chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. The only thing that came to my mind when I read, I don't know why, when I read this verse was Psalms 126:5. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So I was thinking, you know, Paul here, he speaks, he says he's mindful of Timothy's tears. This means that Timothy has some very difficult things in front of him that brought tears. Based on what we read in the first letter to Timothy, I think we understand that there were some very difficult things that he had to deal with. And in particular, the teaching of error. It's a very important thing to deal with, and it's also sometimes very difficult, and it brings tears. It should bring tears to God's people when that happens. Paul, he says, I'm mindful of your tears. I'm mindful of your tears. And he says that I might be filled with joy. Now, I'm not really happy with the way they divided this up, because it almost seems like that goes with the mindful of tears, but it really goes with verse 5. He says, that I may be filled with joy in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There's tears, but Paul is filled with joy when he remembers the unfeigned faith that Timothy has. Now, the word unfeigned, it really kind of just means not faked or not, you know, put on, not hypocritical. Paul speaks about unfeigned faith. He also speaks in other places about unfeigned love, that is, love that is real and not put on, not faked. When he speaks about Timothy here, see, this is important because faith, you know, the just shall live by faith. So faith is the key for us. And a lot of God's people are faking it today. A lot of God's people are faking it today. Oh yeah, we believe, we trust the Lord, we believe. But when the difficult circumstances come, then what happens? And see, this is why it brings joy to Paul to think about this, because he knows that this true faith that is in Timothy is the very strength that Timothy needs for the whatever is causing his tears, right? The things that bring tears are the things that require us to lean on that real faith, that true faith that says, I trust God. Now, I think that for us to have true faith, We need to have a revelation of who God is. I can't truly say I trust him implicitly if I don't know who he is. I can say it and not mean it, or I can say it and not understand. But to truly have true faith in our God, we need a revelation of who he is. That's where that comes in. When we come to the difficult circumstances, often we want to understand the reason in them. That was that whole thought about reason versus revelation, by the way. What was the other thing he said that I liked? Adversity brings advantage. You know, that's the way God works. God wants to show us who he is. And sometimes we need some adversity for that. I always come back, it's hard not to. I always come back to a man named Job. Job's friends wanted to explain to him the reason, but God wanted to give him a revelation. At the end of it, Job really could truly say, I know who you are. I know who you are. And that brings about true faith. Now, by the way, Paul here, he says, the faith that is in him, he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now, you look at these two things and you think, man, these two people, two women, we know almost nothing about them. In fact, Lois, I couldn't find that there's any other mention of her than this. Eunice is mentioned in the 16th chapter of, not by name, by the way, but in the 16th chapter of Acts, where we read about Timothy. His mother's mentioned there. And these two women are mentioned. And not just mentioned, but Paul says that there was an unfeigned faith that dwelt in them. Notice the word dwelt. Dwelt to inhabit. It was in there. It was like a permanent fixture. And this, I can appreciate this because all we know about Timothy for sure is his mother was a Jewish woman. His father was a Greek. Now, it's never told to us if his father was a believer or not, but I think it's fairly easy to look at what is said, what is not said, and what is said to understand that he probably was not. And so Timothy's faith comes through his mother and his grandmother before him, before her. Two women who had a great impact on a young man, Timothy, because their faith was strong, because their faith was real, not faked. And so this is what brings joy to Paul because of its importance in Timothy's life, that there is in him, there is an unfeigned, a not faked, a real faith. In the times of adversity, when the tears come, and yes, the tears do come, we have no promise, by the way, of this life not having any tears. We do have a great hope, by the way, of all those tears being wiped away one day. It's pretty clear in Revelation. There's a good hope for us. All tears wiped away. But what we do know is this. When the tears come in this life, and they do, we can stand up on our faith. Because we trust the living God, who has proven to us his intentions. And that's important, by the way, because a lot of people want to try to say, who God is or what God is, but the most important thing for me is to understand God's intentions, right? Because it doesn't matter, it won't matter who he is if I don't know what his intentions are, right? So I'm glad to know who he is, but it's important to know his intentions. And he has clearly stated and demonstrated his intentions by sending his son to die in my place. there need not be any more doubt about what God's intentions are. And so our faith can stand fast. And yes, the tears come. There are great tragedies in life, great difficulties, great trials. And yes, the tears come. We're not told to not have tears, and we're not told that there won't be any tears here. But again, that is when we stand on our faith, because we know what God's intention is. We know His intention is to do us good. To do us good. And because of that, we can stand fast in those times of tears. I'm going to quit here this morning. Next time we'll consider some more remembrance and stirring up that is necessary in our lives. Any questions or comments?